Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something really fundamental. We're looking inside a gun barrel, basically, at the physics happening right when it's fired.
Yeah, it's a critical moment, super important for, well, everything from defense applications to, sports shooting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it might seem like it happens in a flash, but understanding that split second is crucial.
Absolutely. That incredibly complex interplay of forces, the energy release inside the barrel, that dictates, well, pretty much everything that happens afterwards. Downrange performance, accuracy, you name it.
Even tiny changes in there have big effects later on.
Huge effects, which is why this stuff matters, right? Whether you're designing gear, thinking about safety protocols, or maybe you're just, fascinated by the science behind it all.
Performance, safety, even resource use in making ammo and firearms, all ties back to this.
And what's really interesting and what we're focusing on today is this newer way of looking at it.
Not just the old school physics.
Well, yes, the physics is still key, but it's about combining that established physics with modern machine learning.
Right.
And this combination is giving us, well, really unprecedented accuracy in predicting how bullets behave inside the barrel.
So that's our mission for this deep dive then, to unpack this hybrid approach.
Yep.
We want to figure out how it works, why it's such a big deal, and, try to cut through the jargon.
Keep it clear, focus on the insects.
Exactly. So let's start at the beginning. Interior ballistics, what is it, basically?
Right. So, interior ballistics, in simple terms, it's the science covering everything that happens from the moment the propellant, the gunpowder, ignites, right up until the bullet actually exits at the muzzle, that whole journey inside the barrel.
Okay, a very short trip, but obviously incredibly intense.
Yeah.
Why is nailing down what happens then so critical?
Because, like you said, tiny, tiny variations in that initial phase inside that confined space, they just ripple outwards. It dramatically affects the bullet's entire flight. Think of it maybe like launching a rocket. A tiny error in the initial trajectory calculation means you miss Mars by, millions of miles.
Okay, that's a good analogy. Small initial differences, big final outcomes. So what are the main things happening, the key variables in this barrel drama?
Yeah, there are several, but maybe four main ones to focus on. First up is pressure.
Okay.
This is just the immense force from the burning gunpowder pushing the bullet. Generally, more pressure means more speed,
Higher velocity, yeah.
which is usually what you want. But, and this is a big but, higher pressure also means you need really robust designs. Safety becomes absolutely paramount.
Makes sense. More force needs a stronger container. What's number two?
Second is velocity itself. The speed the bullet reaches as it travels down the barrel and then obviously out. It's fundamental. Dictates the path, the energy it carries, how effective it is.
Right. The speed is often the main goal you're optimizing for. What's next?
Third, propellant mass. Basically, how much gunpowder you put in the cartridge. Okay.
More powder generally means more energy released, which leads to, you guessed it, higher pressure and usually higher velocity.
But it's a balance, right? You can't just keep stuffing more in.
Exactly. Too much propellant and you risk, well, dangerously high pressures. Catastrophic failure, potentially.
That's good. Okay, and the fourth key variable,
The fourth one is the bore area.
the diameter inside the barrel.
Actually, yeah, the cross-sectional area. This influences how that pressure gets distributed onto the bullet's base and how efficiently that force actually accelerates the bullet.
So wider or narrower makes a difference to the push.
A significant difference, yes. Affects the whole ballistic performance.
Okay, so we have pressure, velocity, propellant amount, and bore size. For ages, how did people actually figure out how these interact? How did they predict the outcomes?
Well, the traditional route involves some pretty heavy-duty physics, developing and then solving complex mathematical equations.
Right.
Specifically, things called ordinary differential equations, or ODs.
ODs. Think of them like super detailed instructions describing exactly how pressure, velocity, how fast the powder burns, how all these change, like moment by moment inside the barrel.
So, grounded in fundamental physics, sounds solid, but what was the catch? Why look for other ways?
Well, two main things. First, solving those ODEs, while accurate in theory, can be incredibly slow, computationally expensive.
Takes a lot of computer power and time.
Exactly. And maybe even more importantly, these traditional models are often extremely sensitive.
Sensitive how?
Sensitive to the initial inputs. If your estimate for, say, the propellant burn rate is just slightly off, or the initial volume is a tiny bit different, the final predicted velocity could be way off. It's that sensitivity, sometimes called the butterfly effect in other contexts. Small input changes lead to vastly different outputs.
Okay. So predicting a complex system where tiny starting errors can snowball. Got it. So this is where machine learning starts to enter the picture.
This is exactly where it gets really interesting. Machine learning, ML, it offers a totally different angle on this problem.
How so?
Instead of manually grinding through those complex ODEs every single time you want a prediction,
right,
you can actually train computers using vast amounts of data. And crucially, that data often comes from those physics models themselves.
Train them. Like teaching a student by showing lots of examples.
That's a perfect analogy. You feed the ML algorithm tons and tons of simulated results.
Okay.
Different propellant masses, different bore areas, maybe different barrel lengths. And for each combination, you provide the velocity and pressure that the physics model calculated.
So you use the physics model to generate the textbook, basically.
Precisely. And the ML algorithm then crunches through all that data and learns the hidden patterns, the underlying relationships between the inputs and the outputs.
Okay, so once it's learned, what can this ML model do better than the old way? What's the advantage?
Several big ones. First, and maybe most obviously, is speed. Once that model is trained, making a new prediction, it's incredibly fast, often like orders of magnitude faster than solving the ODEs from scratch again.
Wow, okay. That's a massive difference if you're doing lots of tests or design iterations.
Huge efficiency gain, exactly. Second advantage, flexibility.
Flexibility.
Yeah, ML models can potentially adapt to a wider range of conditions. If your training data included simulations accounting for, say, temperature variations or maybe slight inconsistencies in propellant chemistry, the ML model can learn to factor those in, making it maybe a bit more robust to real-world messiness.
Right, because the real world isn't a perfect physics equation. It's got variables.
Exactly. Third benefit, pattern recognition.
Finding hidden connections.
You got it. These algorithms are fantastic at spotting subtle correlations in massive data sets. Things a human might miss just by staring at equations.
Mm.
This can lead to genuinely new insights about what really drives performance. Which factors matter most?
That's fascinating. The machine potentially seeing things we can't easily spot. What else?
And fourth, optimization. Because it understands these relationships from the data, ML can help pinpoint the sweet spots.
Like the best combination of factors.
Right. The optimal propellant mass for a specific barrel, or the ideal bore design to maximize velocity while keeping pressure safe. It can guide engineers toward better designs much more quickly.
Okay, so we have the precise but sometimes slow and sensitive physics ODEs.
Hmm.
And we have the fast pattern-finding ML. This brings us neatly to the main event, the hybrid approach.
Yeah.
How do they actually combine?
Yeah, this is the clever part. The hybrid approach basically takes the best from both columns.
Okay.
It uses the accuracy and the sort of physical realism of the ODE models to generate high-quality training data.
So the physics provides the reliable foundation for the ML to learn from.
Exactly. You're not just feeding it random numbers. You're feeding it results grounded in established physical laws. This gives the ML model a really solid footing.
And how does that lead to better predictions overall?
Well, think about it. Instead of doing lots of expensive, time-consuming physical tests to see what happens when you change the propellant,
right,
you run thousands of virtual tests using the trusted physics model, super fast, relatively cheap simulations. You build up this huge library of virtual experiments. The ML model then learns the ins and outs from this library.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's trained, it can give you predictions for new scenarios almost instantly without rerunning the slow physics simulation. It's learned the underlying physics, in a sense.
That sounds really efficient, leveraging the strength of each method. The text we looked at mentioned some specific techniques used here.
It did. On the physics side, it highlighted numerical ODE simulations.
Okay.
This means using computer algorithms to solve those ODEs step by step. The text specifically mentioned things like the Runge-Kutta method.
Right, a common numerical technique.
And even pointed to a specific tool in the Python programming language, the solvevp function from a library called scipy.integrate.
Solvevp. So that's like the engine doing the physics simulation?
Pretty much, yeah. You give it the starting conditions, bullet mass, powder mass, barrel dimensions, etc., and the ODEs describing the physics.
Mm-hmm.
And solvevp calculates how pressure, velocity, and everything else change over tiny time steps during the firing event. It simulates the shot.
Got it. A virtual firing range powered by physics equations. And on the machine learning side, what specific ML was mentioned?
The text used random forest regression.
Random forest. Okay. What is that in simple terms?
It's a type of ML algorithm that's really good for prediction tasks, like predicting a number, in this case, bullet velocity.
How does it work?
Well, imagine building not just one decision tree, but hundreds or even thousands of them, like a forest of trees.
Okay.
Each tree is trained on a slightly different random sample of the simulation data. When you ask for a prediction, each tree in the forest makes its own guess. And the random forest model then typically averages all those guesses together to give you a final, more robust prediction.
Like asking a whole committee of experts instead of just one. Safety in numbers.
Kind of, yeah. It makes the model less likely to latch on to weird quirks in the training data, less prone to what's called overfitting.
Okay.
It generally gives more reliable, stable predictions.
That makes sense. And the text even showed some Python code doing this.
Yeah, a snippet. It basically showed setting up those initial parameters, bullet mass, 0.0004 kilograms propellant mass, 0.00017 kilos, bore area, barrel length, half a meter or so, all those details.
The inputs for the simulation.
Right. Then it showed defining the ODE function, the actual physics rules, and using SolveEV to run one simulation.
Okay, simulating one shot.
And then crucially, it showed how you'd repeat that simulation many times, maybe varying the propellant mass slightly each time.
To build up that data set we've talked about.
Exactly. Generating lots of examples. This much propellant gives this much velocity.
And once you have that data.
Then you use it to train the random forest. The code used a popular ML library in Python called scikit-learn, specifically its random forest regressor. You feed it the propellant masses and the resulting velocities. But importantly, the text mentioned using something called train to split.
What does that do?
It's standard practice in ML. You split your simulation data. You use most of it, maybe 70 or 80%, to train the model to let it learn the patterns.
Okay.
But you hold back the rest, the test set. The model never sees this during training
Why hold it back?
to check how good the model actually is. After training, you ask the model to predict the velocities for the propellant masses in the test set, and you compare its predictions to the actual velocities you know are correct from the physics simulation.
So it's like giving the student a final exam on material they haven't seen before.
Precisely. It tells you if the model has truly learned to generalize or if it just memorized the training answers.
And how did they measure the performance on this exam?
They used a metric called mean squared error, or MSE.
MSE. What does that tell you?
It basically calculates the average squared difference between the model's predicted velocities and the actual simulated velocities in that test set. A smaller MSE means the predictions are, on average, much closer to the true values. It's a measure of accuracy.
Lower is better.
Lower is better, exactly. The text gave an example value, like mean squared error, 0.00 for F. That F just means it's a floating point number, but the point is 0.004 is a very small error in this context.
So it suggests the random forest model was doing a really good job predicting velocity based just on propellant mass in that example.
A very good job, yes. And there was a graph mentioned too.
The scatter plot, yeah.
It basically plotted the ML model's predictions against the actual simulation results for that test data. And the points were clustered really tightly along a diagonal line, meaning the predictions were almost perfectly matching the actual values, a strong visual confirmation.
Seeing it like that really drives it home. Okay, so this hybrid approach seems powerful. Why is it considered such a big step forward for ballistics?
Well, several key reasons stand out. First, it massively reduces the need for sheer computational horsepower for every prediction.
Because the trained ML model is fast.
Super fast. Once trained, getting a prediction is way less demanding than running a full physics simulation again. This lets you explore way more possibilities, much faster, maybe even on less powerful computers.
Okay, so faster design cycles, potentially lower costs. What else?
It allows for much quicker evaluation of different design choices or scenarios.
Like what if questions?
Exactly. What if I make the barrel slightly longer? What if I use this other propellant type? Instead of waiting hours for a simulation, a trained hybrid model might give you an answer almost instantly.
That sounds incredibly useful for engineers trying things out.
Invaluable for rapid prototyping and just getting quick insights. And a third big plus.
Yeah.
It offers the potential, at least, to better handle real-world variability.
How so?
If the physics simulations used for training include variations, maybe slight changes in temperature, humidity, manufacturing tolerances, the ML model can learn from that variability. So its predictions might hold up better in the real world, which is never perfectly clean or consistent like a pure simulation.
Okay, so summing up the wins. Potentially more accurate than ML alone, much faster than physics alone, and maybe more adaptable to real-world messiness. Sounds great.
That's the goal, yeah.
But surely there are downsides, limitations. It can't be perfect.
No, you're absolutely right. It's not magic. A major limitation is that the ML model is only as good as the data it's trained on.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Precisely. If the underlying physics simulations used to create the training data have flaws, or if they don't cover the range of situations you care about, then the ML model trained on that data won't be reliable. Its predictions will inherit those flaws or limitations.
So the quality of the physics simulation is still fundamental. What else?
It also requires expertise in both domains. You need people who deeply understand the ballistics physics to set up the simulations correctly. And you need data scientists skilled in ML to build, train, validate, and interpret these models properly. It's very interdisciplinary.
So not something you can just plug and play without the right team.
Definitely not trivial. And one more thing. Even though the predictions are fast once the model is trained, generating that initial training data set can still be computationally heavy.
Running all those physics simulations in the first place.
Exactly. Especially if you want to simulate very complex scenarios with lots of variables or really detailed physics, that initial data generation phase can still require significant time and resources.
Okay, so real advantages, but also real challenges to keep in mind. Looking ahead then, where does this hybrid approach go next? What's the future look like?
Well, the text suggested several exciting directions. A big one is just adding more variables into the models.
Beyond just propellant mass.
Yeah. Things like bullet weight, different barrel lengths, maybe the twist rate of the rifling, environmental factors like temperature, air pressure.
Right, making it more comprehensive.
The more relevant factors you include, the more realistic and potentially more accurate the predictions become.
Makes sense. What other future developments?
Exploring more advanced ML algorithms. Random forests are great, but maybe things like neural networks or deep learning or other techniques like gradient boosting. Maybe they could capture even more complex relationships or offer slightly better accuracy for certain problems. There's ongoing research there.
So refining the ML toolkit, how does this translate into real-world impact?
I think the biggest impact will continue to be in design and performance prediction.
For firearms and ammo.
Exactly. Imagine engineers rapidly iterating through designs in a virtual space, optimizing performance based on these hybrid models before they even build a physical prototype.
That could massively speed things up.
Dramatically. Accelerate development, cut down on expensive physical testing, and hopefully lead to more innovative, effective designs.
Sounds transformative. Any other key areas for the future?
Yeah, a couple more. One is quantifying uncertainty. Meaning not just getting a single prediction like velocity will be 850 meters per second, but also getting a measure of confidence.
Like it's probably between 845 and 855.
Exactly. Understanding the range of possible outcomes, the model certainty, that's crucial, especially for safety critical stuff.
Yeah, knowing the error bars is vital.
Nice.
Anything else?
Sensitivity analysis is another one. Using these models to really pinpoint which factors have the biggest impact.
So you know where to focus your efforts for improvement.
Right. Is it the propellant burn rate? Is it the burr tolerance? Knowing that helps direct optimization. And finally, maybe integrating even more detailed physics.
Like what?
More complex thermodynamics, maybe fluid dynamics of the gas flow, even how the barrel material itself behaves under that intense pressure and heat. Adding more physics layers could give an even richer understanding.
So it's ongoing process.
Yeah.
Refine the ML, deepen the physics, add more variables, understand the uncertainty. It's clearly a very active area.
Absolutely. It's this constant interplay, the synergy between the physics understanding and the data-driven power of ML. That's what's driving the progress.
Well, this has been genuinely fascinating, a real deep dive into how these fields are coming together. So the big takeaway for everyone listening.
I'd say it's the power of this hybrid thinking.
Right. Blending the tried and true laws of physics with these modern data-hungry machine learning tools. It gives us a remarkably powerful lens to look at something incredibly complex, like what happens inside that gun barrel.
And it's not just theoretical. It leads to tangible benefits. Potentially safer, more efficient, better performing firearm technology down the line.
Hopefully, you've gained a new appreciation for how these cutting-edge computational methods are shaking things up, even in fields that seem well-established.
Yeah, innovation often happens right at those intersections between different disciplines.
Couldn't agree more. And maybe a final thought to leave folks with. Think about where else this hybrid approach might apply.
Mm-hmm.
Combining foundational principles, the established knowledge in your field, whatever that is, with the power of modern data analysis and pattern finding.
Engineering, finance, biology, social trends.
Anywhere there's complexity in data, really. What new insights could you unlock by bringing these two worlds together? Definitely something to chew on. Until our next deep dive.